It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock from Phoenix, Arizona, in the BEA beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. What we're going to do today is I think we're going to start a new project. Last couple of weeks, I've been telling you I've had ominous feelings. And I've trusted myself over 22 years of activism. You kind of get to a point to where you go, you know, I think I feel some. I need to make a decision. I've recognized worry as it's an emotion that tells you, your intellect, that there's something you should be doing. I'm worried about whatever it is, which means I need to make a decision. You need to alter course. You need to change something. And sometimes doing nothing is a decision. You know, I worried about this, but I can't do anything about it, so I'm not going to worry about it anymore. Go to the lake. So I'm in that situation in the last couple of weeks. It's gotten to the point to where I'm, you know, but where do you defend? I mean, it's getting, we're going to be talking about that this week. Before I leave Wednesday to go to Valley Forge, I'll be covering there's an event there. And and participating in that and getting to meet and network with a lot of new people. And then there's different events every month or something, somewhere. And building right up to the Freedom Summit. Yeah, freedomsummit.com. We have here in Arizona the first weekend in December. But who we have in studio, it's a fortuitous, is we have the mayor of Quartzsite. Now, we'll introduce him when we come back, okay? But I'll tell you why it's interesting is because Quartzsite is a very, very small town, except when it's winter visitor time. And then they have like 100,000 RVs. I mean, it's an amazing thing. Ocean, sea. Well, of course, that's, you know, you got to have a government. You got a lot of people. Can't have a lot of people out there playing Burning Man for senior citizens. Because if you do that, then who gets their cut? Well, you got to have a cut. How you get a cut? You got to have jurisdiction. You got to fill out paperwork. You got to have forms. You got to have police authority. You know, and then things start. I've watched this go from the beginning of whenever this thing started. You know, it's been probably 15 years I've been, watching Quartzsite. You know, going out there, seeing how that go. Yeah, I know where this is going. Because I saw the same thing happen to Apache Junction. East Valley by Superstition Mountains. Lost Dutchman Mine. As a matter of fact, I just went by there Saturday. Saturday I was out there. And now it's a part of the metropolis here. Well, Quartzsite is about halfway between Phoenix and the Arizona-California border out in the middle. Nothing. You know, it's one of those missile range kind of Nevada, you know, White Sands, Proving Ground, you know, sci-fi movie places, okay? But the thing is that, you know, it's where small towns like this, it starts. This is what I'm concerned about. When we come back, I'll tell you, you know, what my concern is, and then we'll start talking to the mayor and see which side he's on. I bet he hasn't even been asked these questions. Because I got questions. I got questions. If you're going to have a jurisdiction, what's their role? You know, if I need, you know, government protection against the forces of, where should it start? Who's the first person you go to? I don't know. Maybe it might be a city official. Well, we got one in studio. We'll be with him when we come back in just a little bit here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, and you do not need a government form.
There are those that just want to be left alone.
and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. And this is what we're going to do. We're going to go ahead and we're going to learn something. I am becoming increasingly concerned that we're getting near the end game on, you know, what role we're going to play along with the government, where they're either on our side or they're not. And I think they're not. So we're going to go ahead. We talked to this morning Ed Foster. He's in studio. He's mayor of Quartzsite. He and the police chief are going at it. You know, ouch quit it. And I'm less concerned about that than I am, you know, much larger issues. And I put it this way. Think about it. We were really involved. I catch my breath. Bathroom's too far away. I was really involved with the H1N1 thing. You know, you got that. Here comes the government. They're going to put a needle inside my flesh. Who defends against that? You know, I'd go to the local police. Hey, man, this guy's trying to, you know, jab me. He's going to take a piece of metal and put it inside my skin without my permission. Like, aren't you supposed to stop him or something? No, I'm here to help him. I mean, you know, I'm like, whoa, something's wrong here. So who do you go to? Do you go to the local sheriff? I mean, do you go to the state police, the Department of Public Safety, Highway Patrol? Do you go to the FBI? I mean, where do you go to when you have all of the levels of government are the mechanism with shiny badges and a gun that's there defending the people that are abusing my individual rights? In fact, oftentimes they are the ones doing it. So if you're going to have a government, you know, you can understand, you know, I'm going, okay, I'd like to have the option to vote none. I mean, if that's, you know, you anarchist, I'm like, compared to what? I'm sure we're going to hear a Quartzsite story when we get to this, and it's going to be, I'm going, you know, wasn't it better when none? When there was none? Because there was none. There was none. It was only recently that there was something. And then it's like, you know, then the problems start. They go, oh, we had problems before we had the what? You know, how's it working out for you? Was there another way to do it? Could there have been some other way of doing it? Well, not the way the people that wanted to do it and be mayor, okay? So we'll get to that. Because I don't know that much. We're going to find. So I'm going to ask the questions. Because once I know where when you even started to incorporate, I already knew where it was going. And we have maybe a little bit of hand in this more than you think. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But this is my point. For them to get control of us as individuals, they must change us as human beings. Human beings aren't made to be penned, caged, controlled. You know, so, you know, we add a little bit to the water and this to the food and this, you know, I mean, it's weird stuff going on. Who defends against that? Where do you go? So then I started thinking, you know, we started getting reports that they're going to start adding lithium, which is a heavy metal. You know, they give it to mental patients for, you know, whatever the heck. They're going to start adding lithium to the water. It's already fluoride. They're going to add lithium. I'm like, seriously? Because the government, you know, loves me. And this is their argument. The government wants to put fluoride in the water because they love our teeth. I mean, of all the things, they really love our teeth. You know, they want me to have pretty smart. Okay? Right. Then the other thing is that they find that trace amounts of lithium in some places, which I heard the same argument when I was a kid for fluoride. Oh, the little children in this little town in this mountainous area up in Colorado, kind of whatever, gets a little bit of fluoride. They don't get as many cavities. Don't you all want to have, you know, fluoride? Well, here, it's industrial waste. They need to get rid of it. So, you know, that's how that happens. But, you know, I'm going, all right, so now they find out that the suicide rate in some communities that have trace amounts of lithium is lower. You know, you just, you know, feel depressed, don't have a job, losing your house, your government's corrupt. We got a purple pill for you. And because we love you so much, we're just going to take the purple pill and put it in the water. So I'm going, okay, so who defends you against that? My thing is now, I think we're going to do a little project here, you know, because we can. I'm going to focus on the role of the city. We're going to go. We did this before. It was about 10, 11 years ago when my son was in, I have four children. They both went to Phoenix Christian Junior Senior High. And one of my sons in the summer, you know, he is very, he just, you know, give me a book, man. You know, he's one of those maxes out on calculus classes kind of guy. So to keep him intellectually challenged and entertained, we'd have projects. And one of them, I said, you know what we'll do? Let's go ahead and track this fluoride thing. So we did freedom of information requests on all the water treatment plants in Phoenix and asked where they get their additives, blah, 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 blah. And I tell you, we found out a lot. The fluoride that they provide is at a loss to the company that provides it. Why would they do it? Financially. I mean, I'm doing spreadsheet. You know, I'm a businessman. You know, I'm on a restaurant, man. I could, here, give me the number. Show me the money. And I find out, I'm going, there's something else going on. Their industrial waste get rid of others. You know, they had all kinds of suits against this company and EPA this and that and blocked and then, you know, and so on. Oh, but they wouldn't do that. You know, this kind of fluoride would be bad. This is good. And then it's the bad one they're doing. And, you know, on and on and on and on. We are a waste dump. Our kidneys are filters for the industrial waste. So I'm going, and then, of course, it has a side effect of, you know, whatever government thinks it has a beneficial side effect for. So you can see, I'm going, all right, if I'm going to defend, if we're going to get really bad, what is it that I want to defend? Is it my state border, my country border? I mean, that's what the distraction is. Immigration. They're threatening, you know, they're going to take. You know what? I don't know a single immigrant that's got a 45 to my head taking my money against my will. The government does that. They go, yeah, but they're getting at the trough. I don't care. They're not the one taking it. You know, and you, I don't care if you're from Montana. You're sitting there, you know, lining up at the welfare state dole. I'm going, you know, you're taking my money. You know what? It's the guy with the gun and the badge is doing it. So, I mean, you know, the distraction is just phenomenal to me. So I'm going, okay, so do I offend this country thing? They're pretending. You know, they're not even on the border. All the stuff, they don't even go to the border. Border don't even matter. So I'm going, okay, so what about the state line? Now let's do the state. You know, don't want them California guys coming in telling me what for. Because that's what's happening in Quartzsite. Oh, it's everybody from all over the country. They bring their government with them. Oh, here they come. We packed it up, put it underneath, you know, one of the compartments, and we're going to unfold it on you. Oh, see, I'm prepping you, man. So we get going here, it's going to get ugly. So then I'm going, all right. You know, so do I defend the city? Am I going to defend my city? Yeehaw, my city, my football team, my whatever, my city. Why? You know, are they doing any better job? The law enforcement they got, the ones, you know, ripping me off. Heck, even the firemen. It's only government that you call them when you want them. They come pretty quick. You're glad they're there. They don't have guns. They don't write you tickets. They take care of you, and they leave you alone. I like those guys. Except when it's campaign season, and then they go endorsing somebody and putting inside them and get their increase. I mean, these fire stations now are becoming Taj Mahals. It is amazing here. I mean, you know, gyms and lap pools, man. I mean, saunas. I mean, it's getting, I mean, what else are you going to get? So I'm going, all right. Well, what is it I would defend in this city? Well, I would think, what is the one thing that I could do without? Well, here underneath Phoenix, there's a lot of water. In fact, there's a lot of municipal wells they have here. You know, there's people used to have wells. Well, then they say, no, you're not allowed to have a well anymore. No, you can't. Wouldn't be prudent at this juncture. You got to get it from us. We're going to do it. You can't do it. We do it. So I'm going, all right, well, what if I drilled a well? You're going to say, nope, can't do that. All right, well, then I'm in Phoenix. I mean, when the apocalypse comes, I'm thinking that water be important. You know, you have so much in a pool. So I'm going, you know, I want to go ahead and defend the water. Who we get the water from? Well, some cities here in the Valley get it from other cities. You know, and then they got, I'm sorry, you want our water? You get the fluoride. Well, here in Phoenix, you know, I'm going, okay, where are the water treatment plants? Do we share it with other cities? Do we get some from other cities? You know, it comes from the Central Arizona Project, from the Colorado River. It comes down in the big canal. Here's a lot of it in the aquifer. There's a lot of it. You know, we have big lakes here. I mean, a lot of people don't know there are more boats, pleasure boats, per capita in Arizona than anywhere else in the nation because it's hot. And lots of lakes. So I'm going, okay, what if I plan, if I'm going to do the defense of any kind of jurisdiction of government, I'm going to defend the water supply. I want to defend the water. I'm going to stand there, you know, with my AR, you know, and get all camoed up and say, woohoo, man, I'm going to yeehaw, I'm defending something that's important. Okay, the water. You know, for me, my family, my friends, my community. But before you do that, are you sure you want to defend it? First thing you got to do is you got to check it. You go, okay, well, what's in the water? Maybe I don't want to defend it. Maybe I want to defend the column of water trucks coming in from Colorado Mountains. I want to be the Arrowhead ride-along guy. I want to be Blackwater for Arrowhead. See my point? Where do you put your effort? You're going to defend what? Well, this is where we're going on this. I'm going to start having some fun. We're going to start really focusing on the water issue here in Arizona. Well, we got a mayor of a small community out in the middle of a desert. They created a government out there to what? Protect, defend individual rights? We're going to find out. We'll be right back with Mayor of Quartzsite Ed Foster and me in studio in just a little bit and see who declares their independence.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock from Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, well, you know, west of Phoenix on your way to Los Angeles, you know, there's a little bitty wide spot in the road. That becomes a really big wide spot in the road when it hits about, you know, end of October. You know, so it's now let me go ahead and bring in Ed Foster. Now, he's been patient here. I've been building him up because I'm gonna slap him around. Okay, I just want to make sure he knows what slapping around is going to be. All right. Because this is what's going on. Now, first off, you're mayor of Quartzsite, but let's go ahead and tell the audience from people that are back in the Lone Prairie, Kansas, whatever, describe to me Quartzsite. Where the heck did it come from? Why do we even have that off-ramp on the freeway out in the middle of that? I mean, if you ever watch old Westerns and it has like the Death Valley look, and you see out in the middle, you know, this Death Valley. I mean, it's just this flat wasteland of nothing that goes till the next mountain range 100 miles away. Out in the middle, there's a little white spot in the road. That's Quartzsite, okay? You think I'm kidding. I mean, that's what it looks like. Now, that's why people were drawn there. It was to get away from government, okay? That was its draw. It was Burning Man for senior citizens out in the middle of a freaking desert for decades, and it kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. They have a big rock show out there. You go out there, and it's like a big giant parking swap, okay? So, give me the history from your perspective. Why did you start going out there? When did you start going out there? When did Quartzsite start? When did Quartzsite start becoming a town? Tell me everything.
Oh, well, Quartzsite started, long ago, it had a well. It was a stage stop. People stopped there on the way to California. But recently, it's turned into this swap meet. It's been a lot of prospecting and gold mining around in the mountains around there. And people come there for the gold and the prospecting and started trading rocks and swap meeting. A lot of people go up north in the summer and go to garage sales, pick up odds and ends, and they come back down there in the winter and they want to trade with each one man's trash and another man's treasure. So they set up blankets and started trading, and that became the draw of Quartzsite, just this huge swap meet in the desert in the winter.
And then it became, and I knew what the problem was. I mean, you had such traffic that, you know, all of a sudden, where do people park? Where do they go? How do they block people in? Is somebody managing this? And it started having its own solutions. I mean, you know, people have private property. They charge for parking. They do what? What happened was is that you start getting the governmental types going, you know what? We know that whenever you have this many people in one place, there's fees and taxes to be collected. There's a little something for the home team. All we got to do is be the home team, okay? I saw where this was going. And sure enough, they go, you know, we're going to become metropolitanized. Now, so when was that and how did it happen?
Well, actually, Quartzsite was incorporated in 1989. The impetus for that was that, as you mentioned, we're in the desert. The whole of Arizona out here is in the desert. We did have water. And the city of Phoenix had designs on the water out there. They wanted to take the water rights. So the town of Quartzsite was incorporated to hold its water rights. That was the main impetus. It was a way to protect our water from Phoenix.
How many miles west of Phoenix is it?
It's at the 19-mile mark, and we're right here about the 130-mile mark, so that tells you it's about 110 miles from here.
Yeah, so it's out there. Right. And then how much further to get to L.A., about another couple hundred miles?
It's right at 300 from where we are, Quartzsite.
Oh, okay, so it's out in the middle of nothing. There's water there, and the city of Phoenix is like, you know what? We got a big giant straw. I mean, what? They were just claiming it as part of for to expand development under rules, laws, and lay claim. How did our water get underneath your town, kind of thing?
Yeah, that's sort of that. You know, the city of Phoenix gets a lot of water from the Colorado River. And the canals go by there. It would not have been out of the question for the city of Phoenix to drill wells and pump it into the canal on the way to Phoenix. So,
it wouldn't surprise me. Okay, so there is claims to water based on we got a government. We claim it for ours because you have a lot. It's the same problem that goes on with Colorado, Utah, Nevada, California. You know, with the Colorado River, Lake Mead, who gets the water? By the time it gets down to Mexico, it's a marsh. You know, they don't get the Colorado River anymore. And by the time they get it, it's so full of crap. You know, by treaty, now we're having to start to clean the water so that Mexicans, can have birds that don't have three legs. Okay, so this is it's always been a concern here. In fact, when you're in real estate, you find out that the aquifers here, they always go, oh, we're losing all the water, we're losing water, we don't have any water. We're positively charging the aquifers. There's more water going into the underground water table here in Phoenix than is being taken out. Has for a long time. Now, of course, that's not what the politicians will tell you, but that's what's been going on. What they do is they say, all right, developers, you cannot create a development. You can't build more homes in this area unless you have water for it. You got to have claim some water. Where are you going to get the water? Well, they'll buy water rights from different places around the state, and kind of like it all drains into the same thing. And of course, it always comes down to we can, and anybody else can't, because we know how to fill out the forms and we're big dogs. It's all the developers run this state, and it's getting their little fingers and tentacles out into Quartzsite, whether they even realize it or not. We're going to find out how much they realize when we come back. Stay right there.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free. I want to break free. I want to break free from your lies. You're so self-satisfied. I don't need you. I've got to break free.
God knows. Yeah, all I want to do is to break free. Free from what? From government guns and politicians. Well, I got one right here. Mayor of Quartzsite, I already hate him. I don't even know him. we'll see if you can change my mind. The main thing that I'm looking at is, let's go ahead and talk about the beginning of Quartzsite. Now, you're saying that, it was kind of a... there's a gazillions of dollars out there to be had, but that wasn't it. That was why. That wasn't our motivation. We wanted to protect the water. Okay, here comes Phoenix. They're going to take our water. We won't get our water. We're stage stop going to L.A. from Phoenix. We need our water. So they go, all right, we're gonna lay claim to the water, and we got to create a. Do they have a water treatment plant out there or something?
We have wells. We chlorinate water, but that's it.
Okay, so in the water, you're adding chlorination.
Yes.
From the ground.
Yes.
Why?
Because of federal regulations.
Oh,
I knew you'd love that.
Yeah, seriously. Anyway, all right. So now let's incorporate to save the water so we can put it under federal control. That's a whole nother line. All right. So you create the city, town, whatever. Now in the off season, in the summer when it's 120 degrees. How many people live there year-round?
Well, first off, it's a dry heater.
Man, it's better. I've been, my worst summer I ever had was a couple summers ago in Iowa. Right. You cannot get away from it. I'm like, give me 115 any day, okay? So anyway, so yeah, it's a dry heat. All right, so in our dry heat out here, how many people there are suffering it?
Oh, probably 1,500 people full-time year-round residents.
So 1,500 people, we're talking small. Now 1,500, you know, swells to what at the peak in the winter months?
Well, our population by census is 3,500, and
that ain't what I'm talking about.
And in the winter, we get probably, with the economy the way it's been, we're probably down to around 100, 150,000. It's been as high as a half million or more, even a million.
You see what I mean? We're talking all of a sudden an ocean up to a million, half a million. They start having, you know, they start making all kinds of regulations. You know, you can't be here for more than, what, 2 weeks at a time or something like that?
No, they the BLM out there, you can get a season pass from,
oh, really?
From September to April.
Well, what is some people say you only be there a week or two? I guess some
campgrounds.
Well,
there are some campgrounds there that the BLM maintains that are 2 week, 14-day limits.
Yeah, the ones that are probably have the most facilities to it and hookups and all that kind of stuff. Because what happens is I went and I spoke in Yuma, and there was a big tea party thing out there, and the average age was, I don't know, 70-something. And it was definitely gray hair, okay?
Quartzsite is the oldest community in the oldest county in the nation, age-wise.
Really?
Yeah. Yes.
That wouldn't surprise me. So I'm out there, and the people, and I went and I spoke at Quartzsite, a lot of the same people. And I'm like, yeah, I always thought I was kind of good-looking, you know? And they go, don't get full of yourself. You know, we have to switch and go between some of the southwestern desert communities because they have, like, time limits. So they'll get in their RV, and they'll be at a campground, all the goodies that they want, and then a couple of weeks they'll go, you know, 100 miles over here, and then they'll move around. And it's kind of, you know, a little nomadic thing. They have some fun. And I guess if they want, they can get a seasonal pass or something. Sometimes they may not want to. They want to go different functions around. And sometimes they want to leave when it gets too busy. When you have, what do they call the big rock days out there? What is that called?
That's the Quartzsite Gem and Mineral Show.
And when the Gem and Mineral Show comes in, I mean, woo-hoo!
We also have a big RV show, and we have a big circus tent out there that it's erected end of January through the middle of February.
A bunch of them.
And we have all these big shows come to town. It's quite entertaining, really.
It's very, very fun. My family, since they were little, probably the last 20 years, we've gone out there probably 5, 6, 7 times. And kids loved it. I mean, you'll get all kinds of fossils and stuff that are gazillions of years old and polished up and done and pretty and crafts and all kinds of stuff. And then, of course, a lot of politics is going on out there because, you know, that was kind of like the Tea Party Central, you know, before there was a Tea Party. Because these people, they would go around and they'd all have their own DVDs and so, and that's when we came up with the idea. After having given that speech and so on, we had brought down about 75, 80 DVDs that we had laying around of Obama deception and For Liberty, the Ron Paul documentary, and America, Freedom to Fascism, Aaron Russo's thing, and that kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden, I got a bunch of orders. Everybody wanted them, hundreds of them. And I'm going, wow, yeah, I guess senior citizens can watch DVDs. So we went to Quartzsite, and we gave out tens of thousands of them. And we've done over 40,000 already, and a lot of them went to Quartzsite. So we knew what was going to happen this last season. When they left this spring to go back to places north, they spread out all across North America, and they infect. And when they come back again this fall, they're going to want more movies. And here we're going to be. So that's how we saw it as an opportunity. But they are mad at government. They lost, this age group probably lost at least half of their net worth, at least in the last few years, went away. And I talked to these people and I said, you know, I don't even need to see a show of hands to know all of you are worth half, at least half as much as you were 2 years ago. I know that. You don't got to confirm it. I already know. I know. I don't care what you're telling your neighbors. I know. Okay? It is. You're done. Done. You got that Walmart job back east, do you? You know, living in your RV now, sold your home that you had free and clear for half what it was worth, 3 years ago. You know, I already know this. Pension fund of the company you were with for 30, 40 years, all of a sudden went bankrupt. It got raped. They took it. Wall Street says, thank you for playing. It's ours now. I mean, you know, do you think I don't know this? That's what I do every day. I know. So they come out there and they say, you know, but during this time, they were begging for more government. Oh, we need government. You know, we don't have enough government in Quartzsite. So they create the government. They do a city charter. They, you know, so give it to the cities and towns association of. They got a template for you guys to follow. You know, all of a sudden, here comes the federal government saying, oh, okay, and here's what you got to put in your water. You know, so I'm going, okay, yay, thanks. And there's taxes too? Oh, and you got little gendarmes going around getting everybody tickets. Oh, that's even better. So this is, and you have a city budget. Tell me what your city budget is.
Well, this year it's right at around $10
million. $10 million for a round-the-year residencies of 1500.
Right.
Now, what does that come out to?
Well, first off, I want you to know that I got involved in politics. That was the first issue that opened my eyes, and I wondered just what the heck was $10 million, you know, for this few people. So I took all the cities and towns in Arizona and sorted them according to population and looked at a few. And actually, Quartzsite turned out to be not so bad because the nearest population was Wilcox and Williams. And at that point, Wilcox had a $20 million budget and Williams had a $30 million budget with a similar population.
Well, they also got sidewalks.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Yeah, of course, I don't have nothing. Okay, so we're looking at, almost $7,000, per person there that they, you would think every year, they're not getting charged that much. I mean, I would imagine there's no way that they could, take that much out of them.
Most of the people in Quartzsite live on fixed income of Social Security.
Yeah, no, it's gleaned from all the people that are coming in sales tax and whatever tax and the tax. And they got this money coming in. So you're looking at $10 million a year, and how many city employees are there?
There's 54, I believe.
Okay, so let's go 10 million divided by 54. What do you think that comes out to? Not much. You know, 10 million, 100,000, it'd be, is that like, be like $400,000 a person? Damn. I mean, let's do, see if my math is right here. And then, what is it? What are the services that are provided in Quartzsite? I go to Quartzsite and I got, I got good something. What am I getting there that government's providing me?
I can't really speak to that because there isn't much that's good. We got a waste treatment plant and a water system in the town. The water is substandard.
So how many did you say, 154? 54 employees?
54, yeah.
Okay, so it's like under 200,000, 185,000, 200,000 per person. So I'm going, I imagine they don't make, is that how much your salary is? How much you get?
Oh, I get a whole bunch here, Ernie. I get $400 a month.
$400 a month, okay? So there's a lot of money going somewhere.
Yes.
To what? I mean, what is the big budget is what? Got a big giant fire department, police department, do you?
No, the fire department is a fire district, so it's outside the control of the Quartzsite. It's not part of the structure of the city.
Okay, so what about police?
There's the big one. We have the 14 officers, the highest per capita police force in the nation.
Ooh, see, ain't no Andy Griffin there. Okay. All right. So we have 14 officers to patrol 1,500 people year round. So in the off season, 150 people get their own officer. No, 10 people per officer. No, 100 people per officer. So 100 people per officer, how many did you say? 14, 15? So it's about 100 people per officer. Man, that make you safe. Okay, so we got the Quartzsite, the police state capital of the planet, during off season. And during the height of it, I guess they're just out writing traffic tickets like bad boys, right?
Oh, yeah. That was another. Actually, I got involved in politics. We have a citizens coalition in Quartzsite, and we became a political activist to try to inform the public what was going on in our town and
I'll tell you how we know a lot of it. I don't know if you know this or not. We know Big John from Desert Star.
I know Big John.
Big John's been, he publishes a newspaper that is distributed out in Quartzsite during the peak season. And he's a nomad. I mean, he just goes around the state. And so we used to do a newspaper in the early 90s called Citizens Taking Initiative. And it was about all the initiatives we'd file and so on. Well, he would just take big stacks of them. He'd distribute them all over the state. You know, that was how we got our distribution. And he started doing his paper and so on at Prescott. And he goes down there and does different things. And what happened was he'd keep track of the local policy. He understood what was going on. And he and I aren't, you know, totally in line with the same kind of proper rule of government thinking. But, you know, at least he knows when to call BS on something. The city of Quartzsite came out and said, you know what? You need to have a permit. Your First Amendment rights is by permit, boy. You need to get a permit. Well, that just didn't flush well. So what happened was he got help with the Institute for Justice and the Goldwater Institute at the time, which filed suit against the city of Quartzsite, and he prevailed.
Well, I'm sort of in a similar situation, Ernie. I'm running an online newspaper called the Quartzsite Mineshaft, digging deep in the dirt of Quartzsite.
There you go.
Yeah, and right now I'm facing an ethics inquiry by the council. I'm sort of the fox in the hen house out there. And
so the ethics is what? You're not allowed to share?
One of their big concerns is that I publish an online newspaper and start telling the truth.
Well, of course it is. I mean, you know, the government's not there to, you know, get all their dirty laundry out. They keep that under wraps. They want to go control everybody else. And it's Quartzsite. Quartzsite, Quartzsite, mineshaft.com. You go to Quartzsite, mineshaft.com, and then you got, and this would be the benefit of any one of us we get in the office is just this. I mean, this is what they can expect. Let me tell you what the view is from the inside, okay? So now you have how many elected officials are there? Is the police chief elected or appointed by the city council?
I am the elected mayor, and there are six elected council members.
Wow, six. Okay, so you got six council members and a mayor.
Right.
What are their terms?
4 years.
Each one. Do they all get elected at the same time, or are they staggered?
No, they're staggered.
Okay, how many? You know, so 4 years. So every 2 years, you do half.
Right.
Okay, so we have the six in. I would imagine the mayor just falls on one of them, so you have three plus the mayor every 4 years.
Actually, this last time, and I'm not quite sure how this happened. I've only been involved in the politics in Quartzsite for the last 2 years, but this time we had four councilmen and the mayor in this last election. So,
because, okay, so we have. A bureaucracy, I would imagine. That's where the real government is. You know, they're the people that, I don't even know. And I'll go ahead and describe it for you, okay? I remember in East Valley here, there was Apache Junction. There was a man, his name was Bob Cantoni. He moved from Ohio back in the early 70s to get away from government. I'm going west, young man, okay? He was probably in his late 40s at the time. He goes to Apache Junction. He gets a small piece of land out in the middle of nothing. I mean, it's an oasis compared to Quartzsite, but, I mean, it's out in the boonies. I mean, there was nothing out there. He builds a flat-top home that later he moved into another home on another property, and he turned that into a TV repair shop, okay? The town grows. It's 20 years later. You know, it's getting bigger. They're incorporating, becoming a bigger city, blah, blah, blah. They start having all of these different bureaucrats. You have a city attorney. Do you have a city attorney?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, and he's always the good guy, isn't he?
That's she, but that's
all right. Whatever. Here comes the city attorney, and they come from other towns. It's like a farm team, you know. They have the little towns, and then they go to a little bigger town, and then they get closer to metropolis, and they move on up. They got, like, their own little farm team thing going on. So they come in, all of a sudden the highway gets built out there, and there's the off-ramp that goes right by where his shop was. They build the fire department across the street, and they want his land. They want it in the worst way. He picked the wrong place. You know what, son? You picked the wrong place, okay? They want it. They go and get it. And we went through a lot there, and we learned how this goes. And I see the same thing happen in Quartzsite. We'll talk about it when we come back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
It ain't so groovy when you're screaming in the night. Let me out of this cheap TV movie. Heading on down the highway and you're rushing headlong out of control. And you think you're so strong, but there ain't no stopping and you can't stop rocking. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, well, we can complain. You know, that's one thing I want to know. When can I complain? When can I? I want to know when I'm not allowed to complain anymore. You know, that's a good thing to know. I mean, when you're going, you know, I think that, boom, shut up, boy, sit down. You know, when you're not allowed to complain anymore, that tells you a whole lot right there. And here you have a gentleman, Ed Foster. He's running for, he is mayor of Quartzsite. And then what does he do? He's going, well, you know, I think everybody should know what I know. So he starts quartzsitemineshaft.com, and everybody just goes there. You interested in local politics? Well, you can check out whatever, but you're at least going to go check out what the mayor has to say. So they go up there, and then the city councilman's like, you know what? We don't like you anymore. We think you should go. You know, the police chief gets up. What does he say?
He said, the gloves are off, Mr. Mayor.
Gloves are off of what? I mean, for what? I mean, what's the contention here?
Well, the real problem was is the first week in office, town employees came to me and told me of a problem that some grant money had been misspent. And being responsible, I decided that that needed to be investigated. So I took it to the DPS. And
Department of Public Safety, our state police, Highway Patrol.
State police. You know, as the mayor, I was received there, and they took it serious, and they did an investigation. Now they found out that the chief was had not misappropriated the money, and it came from employees. But that would have been the end of it for me. I'd done my duty. I turned it over to a higher authority to have this investigated, and it was proved to be groundless. But the chief made a public spectacle of it. He got up at the council meeting and ranted and raved that I'd even filed a charge against him or had the police investigate him. And I had asked the state police to do this discreetly, you know, to maintain some integrity for him, you know. But he made a big issue of it. And right now, that's one of the basis of the ethics investigation that I am facing, is that I turned this over to state police to be properly investigated, so.
When you have somebody with a badge that is, I get to investigate anybody I want. You're not allowed to investigate me right off the bat. You know, I'm kind of going, there's a, you know, self-esteem, self-confidence, guilty thing going on in there. I'm just, you know, you should, yeah, well, come on in, come on down. You know, it's just, you know, some red flags there. But, you know, I'm looking at your budget and how can a small town with a $10 million a year budget be $4 million in debt? How does that even happen? Well, I mean, that's four, you know, that's like a lot.
Yes.
That could be like, you know, never pay it back kind of category.
A major part of that debt is long-term debt for a waste treatment facility, because one of the things that does happen when you get a million people come out in your desert out there, you do have a waste problem in the middle of the winter. And that was another reason for incorporating, was to build a waste treatment facility.
Okay, now water or actual garbage or both or what?
Waste, human waste, yes.
Okay, so sewage.
Sewage.
Okay, so you have a sewage system that it's going from whatever commodes are out there. I don't even know where you even have them. So you have, all right, you got a million people out there, you know, doing their business, and it's going into what? How much did this facility cost?
Actually, that's two point some million in debt right now over that, and we're actually having to expand it. We have several pit stops. Very reminiscent of a NASCAR pit stop, where these people bring their RV in, they propane
it,
fill up, empty dump water in.
Got it. Well, we'll go ahead and do, when we come back, we'll be right back after just a minute here, and we'll keep walking this through. You know, see, is there a better way to do this? Can you do it? Or you just need to go to a space station? I don't know. We'll be right back.